when I was 10, my 15-year-old sister died suddenly of a heart attack in school.
That's Lori Jones, a 55-year-old mother and educator. Talking about her sister's passing isn't unusual for her, but talking about it in a room full of strangers is.
You didn't talk about it. There was no grief counselors. There was nothing. There was no outlet for us.
Jones was one of more than 20 people who gathered at the Aurora Public Library recently to talk about their experiences with death. This was part of Death Cafe, a social franchise of discussion groups that tackle the difficult subject over tea and cake. Some meet monthly, forming casual circles in local coffee shops. Others occur more sporadically, popping up wherever someone is passionate enough to organize it. But all of the events abide by founder John Underwood's original mission, to increase awareness of death and help people make the most of their finite life. This was organizer Lynn Staley's second time hosting a death cafe. She says she sees the event as an opportunity to create a safe place for people to share their story of grief and loss.
In our culture, it gets minimized. Oh, it's not so bad. You're strong. You know, we have this whole, we'll be strong for others. So we have this almost cultural expectation that we can't fall apart. And I think the message should be, when sad things happen, isn't it appropriate to be sad?
Co-facilitator and psychotherapist Cindy Thielen says that we live in a death-denying society.
Nobody will talk about these things. It's like, you know, you don't talk about them at a party because that's not appropriate. And, you know, even if you go out to dinner with friends or something and you start to get deep and talk about it, people are like, oh, that's so morbid. We should stop talking about that.
Thielen says that events like Death Cafe can be a driving force in breaking the death taboo in the United States. Attendees varied in age, occupation, and experience with death. Some worked in the industry as grief counselors, funeral directors, or hospice volunteers. Others simply wanted an outlet to discuss a personal loss or a looming fear of dying. Karina Collier attended primarily to support her mom, Lori, but she also hoped it might ease some of her anxiety about death. Collier says she understands that the event might seem strange to others.
I was talking to one of the other women, and she said, yeah, my daughter saw this on the calendar, Death Cafe, and they were like, what are you doing? Yeah, and I told that to my husband. He's like, what are you going to? Exactly what it looks like.
The Death Cafe only has three rules. Don't give each other advice, don't dominate the conversation, and don't promote any specific religious or spiritual beliefs. Participants are broken up into groups of 4 to 6. Each group has a facilitator who volunteers at the Death Cafe to help bridge gaps in the conversation. Midway through the evening, the groups rotate and a new conversation begins. Facilitator Dan Smola said he was pleasantly surprised by how easily conversation flowed.
I was just, you know, one more person talking about my experiences with death. You know, what I found today is that the group takes care of itself. As crazy as it may sound, I had a really great time today.
Information on upcoming events can be found on the Death Cafe website. I'm Dana Vollmer, WNIJ News.